whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is my honor and pleasure to introduce a legend right now joining us. I don't think he needs any introduction. It's Warren Moon on the fan. What's up, Warren?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? You ready for this big weekend?
Of course I am. I love football. You're a legend and an icon to me. The first thing I have to do is give you your flowers. When I was a very little boy, I was reading about your life and your story. It helped motivate me. The football was put into my hands very young. I played quarterback age 11 all the way into college. And, you know, being a black man, being a black quarterback, your example and learning about what you went through is something that definitely helped me on my journey. So I had to start with that. It's a full circle moment to have you on my show. And I thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, I appreciate those words, and I thank you for having me on the show, because you never know who you're going to impact in your life. You just kind of go through and try and do the best that you can to try and further your goals and dreams, and that's kind of what I did. But I guess along the way, people were inspired by the things that I did, so I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. I saw you at Fanatics Fest, but I was a little starstruck, and you were signing stuff, so I just from afar took a picture and posted it like, yo, Warren Moon, you were in New York for that. And you know, we're on the fan in New York. There's New York football fans listening, so let's start there. Let's start with the Jets. Two questions for you. Aaron Glenn is the new head coach of the Jets. Have you ever met him, played against him? And then also our very own Boomer Esiason was on the Jets, and we'd like to know if you have anything to share with us about the Jets hiring Aaron Glenn, your relationship with him, as well as Boomer.
Yeah, I have met Aaron years ago and played against him as well, and have seen him, you know, off and on throughout the time he's been a coach in the NFL. You know, he's done an amazing job as a defensive coordinator. We know what he's done the last few years in Detroit. It's unfortunate that he had so many injuries on that defensive side of the ball this year, and finally caught up with him in that last playoff game. It's kind of hard to go into a playoff game with that many injuries, and his team just couldn't hold up defensively. But I think he'll do a great job for the Jets. You know, he was a Jet for 8 years of his career. He knows New York. He knows the organization. I think he'll come in there and do a great job, create a great culture there, and they have a really good roster for him to start with, and all they have to do is go out and find a few more pieces, and I think they'll be in the thick of things before you know it.
Yeah, I think it's a good hire. I'm very interested to see who he hires in his staff, and there's a lot of chatter about former Jets coming back, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a positive thing. What can you share with us about, you know, a former Jet, Boomer Esiason, who's on the morning show here? It's his show. He's the captain of the ship. You ever meet Boomer, or you know, have any stories to share from times with Boomer?
Well, Boomer and I have known each other for a long time. You know, we were in the same division in the AFC Central. He was at Cincinnati, and we were at Houston, and we had a lot of battles against each other. He won some, I won some, and we got to know each other very well during the quarterback club days, because we were both in the quarterback club. I remember when his son Gunner was born, and how happy he was to have a son, but then all of a sudden how tragic it was to find out that he had cystic fibrosis. But all he did was turn that into a determination, and he wanted to make sure he could knock that disease out and knock it out for his son, but also other people that were afflicted with the disease. And he's raised probably over $100 million for it. And they found a lot of different cures and different treatments for it. And his son is still, you know, alive. He's married. He's got kids. So I'm really, really happy for their family. His wife, Cheryl, was just as involved as he was. And it's a tremendous story if people really look into it and see what he's done as one person, you know, just taking on a tremendous goal like that to try and get rid of a disease that's afflicting a lot of different people around the world.
Yeah, there's a documentary called Second Wind, the Boomer and Gunner Esiason story, excuse me, on ESPN Plus that just came out around the holidays. So for people listening, if you want to check that out, go take a look at that. You know, speaking of documentaries, there's a documentary on Netflix called Enigma, Aaron Rodgers' story. And I watched that, and it kind of changed my thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. He kind of peeled back some layers of his journey, right? I didn't read any books on Aaron Rodgers growing up, but watching the Netflix story, I saw how he was an underdog. He went to junior college. He was undersized. What he had to do, right? He had to sit behind Brett Favre and then eventually became, you know, better than Brett Favre. So what do you think about Aaron Rodgers and his legacy, and if he's going to retire, if he should return to the Jets, if he's going to mesh with Aaron Glenn? What do you think is next for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he's had a great road to all the success that he's had. Like you said, he started as a guy that a lot of people didn't have a lot of faith in, went to junior college, went on to Cal, and then the rest is history, being a first-round draft pick and going to Green Bay and doing all the things that he did there, winning MVPs. And he's a guy that I think that if he wants to continue to play football, and he played pretty decent football this year, even though it wasn't up to Aaron Rodgers-type standards, I think he should come back and try and play. Because if you're going to try and replace Aaron Rodgers, who are you going to replace him with? That would be the biggest question for me for the Jets. If they feel like they could upgrade that position over Aaron, then go ahead and make a switch. But if you don't feel like you can get a better player, I think you go ahead and go with him another year, draft another young guy, and get him ready to play eventually. But it's all up to Aaron whether he wants to continue to play or not, because it's a tremendous sacrifice to play the game of football. Even though you're paid well and you get all this exposure, a lot of people don't know what goes into getting yourself prepared to play. And if you want to do that again, he's been playing for some 18, 19 years now. Let's see if he still wants to go through all the rigors that it takes to get yourself ready to play at a very high level.
Yeah, the game has changed a lot. The game has evolved a ton, obviously, from when you were playing and definitely from when Aaron Rodgers started. You know, a question I had to ask you is about the officiating in the game, the style of play, the offenses. I had a caller say, ask him about the run and shoot. And I'm like, yeah, the offenses are different now. And I think the officiating is... it's leaned towards offense. We have fantasy football. We have parlays and gambling. You know, the casual fan just wants to see touchdowns and big plays. Can you speak a little bit on the state of the NFL, where we are now with how they're calling the game and how offenses are game planning?
Yeah, there's no question the emphasis by the league is to score more points. And because of fantasy football and all the different things that are going on, it makes it even more popular. You see the casual fan involved. You see a lot more women involved as fans in the game because of fantasy football. And the offenses have taken that on with the way they attack defenses. The quarterback and the receiver has become a huge part of what's going on in football right now, even though the running back is still important to a lot of different teams. You look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now, there's still the running back is a big part of a couple of these football teams that are still left. But there's no question throwing the football is the big part of it. I think our run and shoot offense had a lot to do with opening up the game. And you see a lot of the things that we did in the run and shoot evolve into what's going on in the game right now. All the adjustable routes, the spread offenses, the 4 and 5 wide out offenses that you see now today. We were doing those things back in 1990 and on. With the run and shoot, we were just doing it a little bit more from a half roll or whatever. But the pass concepts, a lot of them are the same in what you see today. So I think the innovation of that offense has a lot to do with what you see in the NFL today. And I like the way the league is going. And I like how the running back is still an important part of certain teams that you just can't deny these guys because they're a very important part of an offense. They just don't have the longevity sometimes as some of the other positions. That's one of the reasons why I think they're devalued. But they're still a very important part of what's going on in football today.
We're on the phone right now with Pro Football Hall of Famer, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Texas Sports Hall of Famer, legendary quarterback Warren Moon. You know, talking about the game and how the game has changed, it's a narrative, but it's something that needs to be spoken on and in a good way, in a good light, right? Like, I just was talking to a caller about the fact that we have Jaden Daniels versus Jalen Hurts, and then obviously Patrick Mahomes, you know, the black quarterback, the evolution of the black quarterback. Amazon put out a documentary. I think it was actually Michael Strahan's group that put out the evolution of the black quarterback. Like, when you think about you and your struggles and, you know, the perception coming into the league to where we are now, right? Can you speak on the black quarterback, the athleticism, and then even looking at the draft, this is how we'll start talking a little bit about the Giants locally too. Right, the Giants might draft their first starting black quarterback in Shedeur Sanders this year or Cam Ward this year. It's starting to just be a regular commonplace thing, especially if you look at, you know, all the quarterbacks across the league.
Yeah, the game has really changed, and the position of quarterback has changed because of the speed on the defensive side of the football. Your quarterback now has to be able to be a guy that has mobility to avoid some of these defensive ends coming off the edge. I think Philadelphia has a guy coming off the edge this week that ran like a 4.37 or something in the 40-yard dash. So you can't be a statue back there anymore. You have to be able to move around. And if Michael, I mean, not if Michael Vick, if Lamar Jackson make that, Jackson would have won this weekend. You would have had four African-American quarterbacks in the final four. So the fact that Josh Allen is in there, he's a very mobile quarterback as well, and that's one of the reasons why he's there. So all these guys that are in the final four now can move and make things happen with their legs as well as with their arms. And it used to be that African-American quarterbacks were more athleticism and not passing quarterbacks from the pocket. But now you're seeing they're able to do both, and that's what makes them so dangerous, is because they can hurt you with their arm from the pocket, but they can also hurt you with their legs when things break down or extend play. So to be successful in this game today, you're almost going to have to be a little bit more athletic at that position in order to be successful and get away from the speed that you see on defense coming off those edges.
Have you watched Shador Sanders or Cam Ward at all? They're not necessarily running quarterbacks, but they're able to avoid the rush. They're able to, you know, find the pocket or create a pocket kind of running away from pressure. Have you been able to watch Cam Ward or Shador Sanders? Do you have a lean on either one? I just want your thoughts for the audience. The Giants might be drafting one or the other.
Yeah, I've watched both of them, and I'm very impressed with both of them, the way they play the game. Cam Ward probably has a little bit more athleticism than Shador does, but Shador can really throw the ball. He really hangs in there. I love how he hangs in the pocket and holds the ball to the last second before he lets it go. He took a lot of beating over his 2 years at Colorado, but he was able to stand in there and throw the ball for a lot of yards, and that's something I think that a lot of teams will look at and really like about him, that he doesn't shy away from the contact. Cam probably has a little bit stronger arm, but I think Shador, like I said, is a guy that will hang in there and make the big throws for you. So they're both very, very talented. I'm not really sure what team would draft either one of those guys first or not. I think it just depends on what type of offense you want to run and which guy do you think fits in the best what you want to do. But I think they're both worthy of being the number one overall pick in the draft, because even though they might not be the top-rated guys in the draft on the board, because of the importance of the quarterback position, somebody's going to take a quarterback or two at the top, and those are the top two guys right now.
Let's talk about the matchups this weekend. I mean, you got the Washington Commanders and the year that they've had with the new ownership, the new GM, new head coach, and drafting a rookie quarterback like Jaden Daniels to get him here. He has a chance to do something that has never been done. Sean King couldn't do it. Ben Roethlisberger couldn't do it. Joe Flacco couldn't do it. I think I'm forgetting one other rookie that got to the conference championship game. My producer, Connor Gangrene, Jets fan, he weighs in. Mark Sanchez, how could I forget?
yes, Mark did get him there twice.
Yeah, you know, I want you to speak on the Jaden Daniels aspect as a rookie quarterback versus even Jalen Hurts, a quarterback that wasn't drafted high. He was drafted in the second round, but, I mean, he might be able to get to his second Super Bowl in a handful of years. And these are two black quarterbacks. One of them is going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no question about it. One of them are. And, you know, what Jaden has been able to do, you know, taking over a team that only won four games last year, it's basically the same roster. They've added a few different guys like Bobby Wagner and a couple of other veterans. But this is the same football team that, like I said, only won four games last year. So he has made such a tremendous impact on what he's been able to do and come in there and win games, not only on the Hail Mary that he had against the Chicago Bears, but he also had four or five other games that went down to either the last drive of the game or the last play of the game where they were able to pull those games out, and he was the main reason why. So he has instilled great confidence in this football team because of, he gives them hope every time they go out there to play. And when you feel like you have a quarterback that plays the game the way he does, your team is going to have confidence when they go out there. If we just do our jobs, we know Jaden's going to make some plays in the down the stretch to help us win football games. And I think that's what they go into this NFC Championship game thinking, because the last time they played Philadelphia, they beat Philadelphia. And I think Jaden threw for five touchdown passes or something like that. So there's tremendous confidence by the Commanders coming into this ball game. I still give the edge to the Eagles because of the talent on their roster on both sides of the ball, especially the defensive side, the fact that they're playing in Philadelphia, which is a tough place to win. And then I think it's going to be really cold on Sunday, and I think that's going to be to Philadelphia's favor too, because they've already played out in the cold last week, where Washington was indoors last week when they were in Detroit. So those are the advantages I give to the Eagles. But like I said, with this kid, the way he plays down the stretch, if the game is close, I think anything can happen.
Now, on the other side, I know you know something about playing in Kansas City. It's going to be cold out there as well, but you got the Buffalo Bills coming in. They do cold as well. This is a matchup that I compare to, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. It's Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Ultimately, again, it's Andy Reid versus Sean McDermott. What do you think we can expect from the Chiefs, who didn't score a lot of points this year? They're not a big favorite here. And Josh Allen, who was in MVP conversations and has literally put this team on his back the entire year.
Yeah, this game is going to come down right to the end, like most of their games do. Buffalo has kind of dominated Kansas City during the regular season, and Kansas City has dominated Buffalo during the playoffs. And the playoffs are what people are most visible about in the last times that they've played. I was at the game in, I think it was 2021, when there was 13 seconds left in the ball game, and Patrick Mahomes was able to drive his team down the field in a couple of plays and kick the tying field goal to send it into overtime. Then they win the toss, and Buffalo never gets a chance to touch the football again. So it's going to be this type of game. I think the team that has the ball last is probably going to win. Both of these quarterbacks are dynamic. They know how to make plays when they need to at the end of ball games. Josh has done a great job of protecting the football this year. I think he only has 6 interceptions or something like that. And we know Patrick doesn't turn the ball very much over in the playoffs too. So the team that takes the greatest care of the ball, and then I think the team that scores touchdowns when they get in the red zone as opposed to having to settle for field goals, is going to be the team that wins this football game, because both teams are going to score, but I think the team that outscores is going to win, but I think that has a lot to do with it. Don't settle for field goals. You got to put those balls in the end zone.
Yes, sir. I'm rooting for a Bills versus Commanders Super Bowl, but I think ultimately we're getting a repeat of the Super Bowl from a few years ago, Eagles versus Chiefs.
Well, I would love to see a three-peat. It's something that we've never seen before in the United States. I was part of a team in Canada where we won 5 championships in a row, and nothing has been done since that time, way back in 1982 it was our last championship. But I'd love to see that happen in the NFL because it's never happened before in the Super Bowl era. The Chiefs have had the type of season that deserves to win that type of championship, because they've only lost 2 games, and one of those was not even a real Chiefs team out there. It was all their backup players. So they won 16 games this year. So I think they deserve to win a championship if they go out there on the field and get it done, because again, it's never been done before, and I'd love to see that happen.
Once again, we're on the phone with legendary quarterback Warren Moon. Warren, before I let you go, let's plug your Brothers in Arms Celebrity Golf Tournament with yourself, Andre Ware, Vince Young. Just let the folks know about the cause and who else will be out there. It's April 15th coming up this spring. I know it's in Woodlands, Texas, but some people listen nationally to this show on the Odyssey app. I'll let you do the rest.
Yeah, we started a foundation about 5 years ago called Brothers in Arms, and it was Vince Young and Andre Ware, like I said, and myself. We come from single mom homes, and we look to target kids that come from single mom homes like we all did, that are involved in sports, that have great grades as far as school is concerned, but need financial assistance. So we supply scholarships to kids in that area that come from that background, and they submit a application, They write an essay on why they think they deserve this scholarship, talk a little bit about their background, and talk about what they're doing in their community as well. That's something we look for, kids involved in their community. So those are the type of kids we target. I think we have some 25 kids now on scholarship. We just had our first graduating class last year, and this golf tournament that we're giving on April 15th is one of our big fundraisers for the year to help fund the scholarship. So that's basically what we are doing with the foundation. It's been very successful. These kids have really shown well in school, and it's not something we just give them money and say, okay, you go on and do your deal. We keep in contact with them. They know they can call us at any time if they need questions about anything, if they need mentorship, if they need guidance. We're there and available for them. So it's something that we're very proud of, and we look forward to another big fundraising year this year.
That's amazing. I can relate. I grew up in a single parent household. My mother, Crystal, shout out to my mom. I know she's listening. Hi, Mom. And like I said, you were an inspiration to me very young, reading about your life and me picking up a football, playing quarterback. I was able to get 10 scholarship offers, and I know I wouldn't have been able to get out of my situation and graduate with a radio and television degree and be talking to you here on WFAN if it didn't start when I was young, learning about what you did and using some of that as motivation and keeping that stuff with me. So I think we'll end it there. Warren, I appreciate you so much. This has been great. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and you guys enjoy the games this weekend. They should be two great football games, and hopefully the best team wins.